You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, you're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. Mark's on the top 10 movies. Shirley MacLaine, we're on number 11.
Six.
Oh, no, sorry. Number six. Joe Higgins is here after bringing Ron and Ari in.
Good
talking about
morning, Tucson.
Wow, look at him on fire. Brian Watson is here, our friend, formerly of the IRS, works for a organization that helps seniors avoid being scammed, and he actually has a lady who's willing to come on and talk about how she got scammed and be a lesson for hopefully you out there, and also if you have an older parent who cognitively needs a little help, you're going to say, you might go knock on their door and say, can I hold on to your credit cards while all this is going on?
Yeah. My wife and I, we get a text from the bank, looks from our bank, and it's not the bank. So we're very, very cautious now about anything.
You have to be.
Yeah. So anyway, Brian will bring us some good knowledge, as we say, coming up at the 8:30 hour. All right, what's our number six Shirley MacLaine movie?
The Turning Point. And it's directed by Herbert Ross. It was done in 1977, 67% on Rotten Tomatoes. You can watch it on Netflix for free. It also has Anne Bancroft in it. And it's really the story of these two women who basically were competitors in the ballet world. And Shirley MacLaine has to give that up because she raises a family, but her daughter is now into ballet. And the rivalry now continues because Anne Bancroft is still dancing, and now the daughters come into the scene. And there's this one scene, I was watching it the other night, and Anne Bancroft and Shirley MacLaine are in a bar, and Anne Bancroft takes this cocktail and just throws it in her face, and it's pretty gnarly.
Kind of the Tonya Harding story.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Right?
Now I have to ask this question. Does Shirley MacLaine keep her clothes on during this?
Oh, man. Yeah, there's no bare backs in this one. Sorry, Bunker. It's just like I'm trying, but no. But anyway, next one up is one of my favorite movies.
I know. One thing about that movie, I didn't realize Mikhail Baryshnikov is in that movie.
Yeah. Oh, well. I told you. It's ballet, man.
I'm not
get with the program.
That one is not on my radar to watch. What do we got next?
This one is a classic and one of my favorite Jack Lemmon movies, but it's called Irma La Douce, and she actually plays a lady of the night. And
we can't get away from this.
And Jack Lemmon plays a police officer who falls in love with her at a bar. And it's sensational. And the two of them play off of each other very well. And, I mean, he really falls in love with her. And I think it's sensational. 78% on Rotten Tomatoes. You can see it on Tubi or Pluto for free.
Second oldest profession, Chris.
What's the first?
I'm thinking IRS. Tax
collectors, right? Taxes has got to be first, right? Taxes has got to be first.
Well, there's tax collectors in the Bible, as we say.
What are you going to do? So next one up is probably my favorite movie on the list, and a movie that I would recommend to anyone because you will never see another movie like this. It's original. It's unique. It's called Being There, done in 1979, 95% on Rotten Tomatoes. You can see it on Amazon Prime. And it is a sensational movie. It's about Peter Sellers plays this gardener who is in downtown Manhattan. And he grows up in a household. His father was a gardener for this very wealthy man. And he never leaves the confines of this mansion. And so he becomes the gardener after his father dies. And what happens is the lord of the manor dies. And so they get evicted. And he basically is out on the street, but he doesn't read, he doesn't write, he's but all of a sudden, somehow he comes intertwined with the president of the United States, because Shirley MacLaine is married to a guy who's friends with the president. They meet him, they bring him into this car, and they start talking to him, and he's talking. They think he's talking about politics, but he's talking about gardening. Mm. And he goes, you have to water the roots to make them strong. Mm. And so they think this is all him talking about politics, mm-hmm. and they think he's a genius. Wow. So now he's going on talk shows, he's doing all this thing. And Shirley MacLaine takes a liking to him and tries to seduce him. And there's a scene in this movie that is absolutely outrageously funny.
Does she show her backside of that?
No, she does not.
So a little Forrest Gump kind of feel, right?
Where
he just stumbles into this history.
Exactly, but it's incredibly unique film, and I just walked out of the theater after seeing this going, God, that was a fantastic movie. Really, really good.
No, very unique, like you said.
Yeah.
And he's amazing in it. Peter Sellers is Chance the Gardener.
Right.
And I have not seen that. That sounds good.
Oh, it is really, I highly recommend it. It is just a great flick.
Is it one of those great dialogues like Four Seasons or?
Yes.
Yeah, it's one of those kind of, that period of time for about 5 years. You have Big Chill.
That's
like really deep.
Absolutely.
Deep
comes
dialogue.
Into that. Yep.
When she tries to seduce him, what does he say to her?
I like to watch.
That's right.
And what the TV's on in the room, and he says, I like to watch. And she goes, really? And she's thinking, you know, she's got to do this performance, and he's watching he's watching Captain Kangaroo is what he's watching. So it's pretty sensational.
Perfecto.
Yeah.
What's the next one, buddy?
Around the World in 80 Days. It's the picture of the year in 1956. It is called the all-time worst Best Picture winners.
It won the Best Picture.
It won the Best Picture in 19.
And that was like just cameo galore, right?
19,
they just threw people in right.
Well, what it was, I think it was one of the first films that just had all these stars,
right?
And it was in
Cannonball Run.
Exactly. Right. And I don't think the movie was really that good, but Shirley MacLaine was good in it. They end up picking her up and taking her in the balloon and all that stuff. But David Niven is good in the movie, but it's just filled with stars.
It's a mad world, wasn't that?
It's
like
exactly.
That
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
exactly like
Isn't
that.
Isn't that wild? There's these genre time frames in our life that we play,
you know what?
Keep hitting them all.
It's
know?
Very apropos. Yeah.
You
can see it on Apple.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you. That's apropos. Thank you. Clean this place up a little bit.
I'm trying to keep it on the rails, Bill. I'm trying to keep it on the rails. You can see it on Apple TV, and it was 72% on Rotten Tomatoes.
So when I put this on Facebook earlier, Taylor Davidson said, Around the World in 80 Days.
I saw it.
Right. And then he said, oops, I just got canceled.
Yeah.
Is that because of the racial stereotypes in the movie or something?
Talking about Blazing Saddles?
No, I just think it had a bad reputation for it was a winner of the Best Picture, but it really wasn't the Best Picture.
That is odd. So, and what year was that?
78? 1956.
No
1956,
way.
Yeah. Again, the year I was born.
But she was in Cannonball Run 2, which did not make the list?
No.
I'm
sorry.
Ah, I got buzzed.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Next one up, number two, is The Apartment, done in 1960. Excellent film. Again, who does it star? Jack Lemmon and Fred McMurray. And Fred McMurray plays kind of a bad guy in this because what Jack Lemmon works for this company, and he's trying to move up in the world. And so he has an apartment in downtown Manhattan, and he loans it to his friends to have their little...
They're having affairs.
Affairs.
We call it a tryst.
I was going to say tryst, but I didn't want to go over the people's heads. But anyway, so that's what's going on. And in one of the ladies ends up being Shirley MacLaine, and Jack Lemmon falls in love with her. And so you go through this thing. So he's conflicted on what to do. And it's just it's a sensational movie and a really nice ending. So.
Okay. So what's interesting about this flick in the end, right, is that Fred McMurray, you said he's played, he's not a very nice guy in this, right?
No.
And what happened was when Joe and I were growing up, and possibly you, at the same age,
My Three Sons.
My Three Sons, he was always the nice dad,
He was
right?
the nicest guy in the world, but you see him in this movie.
He plays scumbags in a lot of movies.
He does a lot. As a matter of fact, I think it was a role reversal because I think My Three Sons was a departure from what he used to play, you know? And so it's kind of an interesting thing because he was like everybody wanted a dad like that.
Right. Yeah. You think of Dublin Nebnity, right? That's
right.
Another one, right?
Yeah.
He's the guy who he's in Caine Mutiny.
Oh, yeah,
right?
That's right, yeah.
He's the guy who kind of gets them to do it, and then when it gets the time for the trial, he throws them all under the bus.
Exactly.
Oh, I didn't do that.
Yeah, exactly.
And then a drunk Jose Ferrer fixes his wagon at the end of that movie. So
Son of Flubber was always a good one, too.
He was a bastard.
It was
Son
a
of
Disney
Flubber.
One, yeah. Well, you know, somebody had to be. Don't play basketball with guys like that. top movie is Terms of Endearment. She won
Movie.
She won the Academy Award for this, and she deserved it.
She did deserve
it. And as a matter of fact, she had, I forget how many years she had been doing this. She, I think her first movie was in 55, but when this movie came out, it was in 1983, she won it, and she gave a long speech.
I remember that speech. I've seen
she
it.
She gave a long speech, and she also said, you know, at the end of the speech, she goes, you know what? I deserve this. And then she walked off the stage and everybody.
It's cool when they've been in the career that long and they give them those awards.
Yeah, she was recognized. I thought that was really, really
nice. And I wonder when they start picking movies when they're old in their career, if they're looking for that award, they're trying to pick the script and the team and the producer and the writer that puts them in the position before they retire.
You know, I don't know. I think some of them are just into the game because they love what they're doing.
Right.
I don't know. Awards are funny. I can remember in all walks of life, I remember just being in the hotel business about awards. You know, you go to these conferences for hotels and stuff, and it's just like, oh, the best this and the best that.
Right.
It was never about that for me. I always liked to have recognized the people who worked for me getting awards because I was trying to lift them up. So,
but you think about what's the one that says, you really, really like me? You love me. You really, really love me. She did her acceptance speech then. It'll come to me.
I know who you're talking about. Jim.
Yeah. Not...
So let me ask you a question about Terms of Endearment.
Yes.
So basically the film is you just so you get invested in these characters.
Correct.
Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. Her daughter is Deborah Winger. And then she at the same time is having a relationship with Jack Nicholson.
Is that the one with the Corvette where he's in the water?
Yeah, Corvette, and he's also an astronaut.
Yeah,
a retired astronaut.
Right.
So basically, that you got that dynamic going on.
It's a December love affair, right?
Yeah,
it's a late in life love affair.
That's exactly what it is. And it has John Lithgow in it, and you know, it's a good flick. It's very well done.
I want to watch.
It was deserving.
Yeah,
it was deserving.
Sally Field.
Is
the one that said,
"You like me."
Well, good job today, buddy.
Yeah, thank you. It was a challenge with you too, but yeah,
I was going to say
you
thank
did
you.
Well.
Thank you for putting up with my tomfoolery. Joe was classy all the way through.
Good job, Mark.
Thank you.
Always good seeing you, brother.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun.
Mark Van Buren, you're off the Budweiser hot seat.
You want some picks or
when
no?
When we come back, let's do that.
I'll give you a couple picks for the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, Mark's going to help you make your mortgage. This month.
don't count on it.
On the nose. Trifecta.
Joe Higgins, Christy Simone.
Make sure
Mark
you
Van
claim
Buren.
Those winnings if they're over $600.
Well played.
Well, I always get somebody else to claim them for me.
Especially
with
a former IRS agent just on the other side of the glass.
It's what I do, Chris. What I do.
Thank you for watching that for all of us, Joe.
No, I pay somebody to collect it for me, and then I don't have to deal with it.
Allegedly.
Yeah, don't tell the tax guy.
Allegedly.
All right, little Linda Ronstadt, part of the Acres Bumpin' playlist here. Here we go. Hey, welcome back to Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 of the Voice, local news and talk.
It's off the rails, baby.
It's way off the rails. Mark Van Buren, Joe Higgins, Brian Watson's coming up next, and we're going to help a nice lady's here to talk about her story of being defrauded by bad people, and hopefully we can all learn a little bit more about paying attention to what's going on out there.
All of us can, for sure.
Mark, tomorrow is the 150th Kentucky Derby.
It is, and it looks like it's going to rain. So you have to factor that into your handicapping abilities. But, you know, there are a couple of horses that I really, really like in this field. The fastest horse in the field and the favorite is at 5-2 is Fierceness. He's coming out of the 17 hole, which I don't like at all. He's a really fast horse, though. The problem with him is he's a bouncer. And, Chris, I'm not sure if you know what a bouncer is, but a bouncer is a horse that has a good race and a bad race and a good race and a bad race. And his last race was a good race. So guess what? So you have to think about that. So
Chris was a bouncer on the radio. So
yeah, well, Chris was a bouncer.
I got high highs and low lows.
Sierra Leone's the horse that I really like. He's the number coming out of the number two hole. He's won $2.3 million. He's undefeated. He's won three races, and he's gotten better each time, so I really like him a lot. So he's the one I like on top. And then Catching Freedom I like a lot as well because he's the number four horse, and he won the Louisiana Derby and was just really, really solid, and they had a buyer's speed rating above 100.
How would you do a trifecta on those three? Would you pick those three in some
I always box things because that, it's a safe bet. But I'm going to give you an exact, and I would go 217 with the 217, 4, 8, and 11. And if you want a long shot, I'm going to give you a long shot. He's coming out of the number 20 hole. His name is Society Man, and he went off at 106 odds and finished second last race and lost by a nose, and I really, really like
that's
him.
That's the Bluegrass.
No, he won at the Wood Memorial. He finished second at the Wood Memorial, and a really, really good horse. And Frankie Dettori is one of my favorite jockeys. He's riding him. So if you're looking for a long shot, if it's raining, I think Society Man might be your horse at number 20, the number 20 horse.
I love it.
So there you go.
Where do you watch it now? Can you go to sports?
Oh, it's
books
on.
It's on TV. Where can you bet? Where can you? Can you go to casinos
in town? You know what? Casinos probably have it.
Old Father Inn used to be a place.
Old Father Inn, and then there's one in Midtown.
Putney's used to be one too, right?
Putney. I don't know if Putney's is anymore. No? You know, Old Father Inn is where I usually go and place bets. So.
Yeah. So an extra bonus. So Brother Joe's horse sees the gray, which
Seize
was
the
an
gray.
Alternate for the gray of the Derby.
He was originally the third alternate and got to number two. But the thing is, I kind of wish that he had stayed because I think there's going to be a couple horses that drop out because of the rain.
Right.
And he would have gotten in there. But he's going to run in the Pat Day Mile, which is a $600,000 race. And I like his chances in that one. So I'll be looking for that as well.
It's at 11:46 Eastern, our time.
Can you be more specific?
I'm just looking at 2:46 right now. It says post time. So he's going off. Seize the Gray. He's in the five hole.
He's a beautiful horse.
So I used to go with my grandfather when I was a kid to the Rialitos Downs. They would come for the winter, and we'd go do the horse. And if the horse defecated before the race, that was his
betting strategy.
That was his thing, right?
Yep, there you go.
I knew I came into the show, if Joe was in the bathroom, that it was the best show he was
in. Well, I knew I was in trouble because Chris was in the bathroom when I came in today. So
can you say defecated on air?
Let's do a quick U of A sports update. The shooting of this poor woman. They're now looking for four U of A football players as part of the...
What happened? Tell me this. I didn't
there
see
was that. It was the Saturday night after the spring game, and they had a shooting at a house party in one of the nicer neighborhoods in the Circle of Self-Righteousness. I just saw the story this morning that they're looking for...
Was she killed? Or was
she was.
Oh, no.
Oh, wow.
Four football players named in search warrant right now as part of that. So we got that going for us. And then Bill... We have a new athletic director that's making more money than anyone on campus other than the more than even Rockin' Robbins.
Yes.
She's making a mil a year to be the athletic director.
Bread and circuses, Chris. Bread and circuses.
And I know it's a very evocative, fancy French name. Desiree.
Can we hear you pronounce it? There you go.
Bouillabaisse something. Her son is now walking on the U of A basketball team.
Really?
So we got Jackson Francois announced he will make a unexpected transfer from Missouri to Arizona to play for the team.
Who's going to cut that kid?
Exactly. Exactly. He's on the team no matter what.
Starter meritocracy. Sure, work out fine.
His name is Napoleon Sacre Bleu Incroyable. Yes, Matt.
His name is You Will Play Me.
Right. Bench.
Did Kevin Sumlin's kid ever play for the program?
I don't think
so. Just want to make sure. Yeah. Well, Mark, have an amazing day. Thanks
I will
for
do
your
that.
Movie
I'll be heading
race.
Up to Gilbert this weekend and checking out Joe's Barbecue because I'm real excited about that. We walked into the restaurant up there and I said, wow, this is really good barbecue.
So one of the people on the bus who's from Marana said when she wants to go with her kids to do something fun but also to go shopping, she doesn't want to go into Tucson Mall, she says. It's too dangerous. So she drives to Chandler and Gilbert from Marana. Because it's better. She feels better doing that than driving in the Tucson. True story.
I'm sure it'll work out.
Brian Watson is coming up with a lady named Connie who was defrauded by bad people. And she's going to tell you the story when we come back. 8:34 in the morning. Me talk good. We're hanging out. We have our good friend Joe Higgins.
Good morning, Tucson.
Back for a third triumphant hour.
Orabelli, Sierrita, unincorporated Pima County. All of you.
We don't need to wake up Miranda. They're doing just fine. So we have our good friend Brian Watson.
Good morning. Good morning.
Formerly of the IRS, now working for the Rose Law Group firm or something like that.
Rose Resources Rose. Outreach to Safeguard the Elderly.
That's right. And Brian is playing Deborah Winger in a one-man show with that voice of yours today.
I got sick last weekend. I apologize for the voice, but I had to be here this morning.
Your wife says it's huskier and sexier is what she just texted me. So,
Brian, how is retirement? You're about our age, and how you doing? Are you enjoying it?
Good. So working for the nonprofit, and then I just finished teaching at the U of A. Taught a class called White Collar Crime. It was amazing. I absolutely loved it. It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
And for
is it attorneys or justice? What's your who
so
are you teaching?
Undergrads?
Yeah.
75% of them are going to law school.
Okay.
Yeah, and
okay.
They're super smart, excellent writers. It's just they're amazing. It was a huge privilege to teach that next generation.
Yeah, that's good.
Are they still doing papers and blue books, those little blue books?
No, and no scan. I made a joke about Scantron the other day, and they actually laughed because they're pretty serious. Students are, they're kind of quiet now. Yeah. It's hard to get them out of their shell. I much prefer speaking to groups of seniors, anybody my age and older.
Yeah.
They find my humor much funnier.
We get it. We get it. We get the references. Wax on, wax off. And all those good things we grew up with.
Exactly.
Right?
You're freaking hilarious, and they don't get you?
No.
These little SOBs?
And it wasn't just me. I brought in a bunch of guests, and you had to work hard to get a chuckle.
How many kids in the class?
49.
And do you see just laptop screens or backs of laptops?
Yeah, I do. You do.
And you lose them. You don't know what they're. You get that eye contact.
They do pay attention.
Oh,
they
good.
Pay attention.
Good.
Yeah, they're great. I've met.
Look,
it's been awesome.
Stop padding your rate my professor
no.
score.
No.
Jeez, he's really cute.
I want to teach again.
Good. Yeah. Good. That's
he's
awesome.
Like George Clooney mixed with an IRS agent.
Well, hey, I'm going to give a pitch here. We're all in the same generation, right? We're Gen Xers. We're going to inherit this mess. So what's it going to look like? What stamp are we going to put on it? So you can't just roll off and do nothing. We had Ari and Ron on today. We're both retired. They're about our age as well.
This Gen X group, you're Gen X, is we got to make this world better. We've
Absolutely.
Inherited a lot of problems, and it's our job to fix it for our kids and our kids' kids.
Brian, who's this lovely lady to the right of you?
This is my friend Connie. I met Connie in March. I did a joint fraud presentation at the Oro Valley Police Department, and it was great. We had someone from Oro Valley, we had me, and we had a Laura, a bank manager from BMO. And right after the presentation, Connie made a beeline to me, and she said, "I've been scammed. It's affected me tremendously in a lot of ways. But I want to tell my story so other people do not get scammed." And because I'd shared during the presentation my media background, working with the media as a PIO. And I said, yeah, let's do this. So first thing we did is we set up a meeting with J.D. Wallace at KOLD 13. And J.D. interviewed Connie. She can talk about that. And I just want to applaud this woman's bravery because most people...
Oh, yeah.
Don't want to talk about it because it questions your intelligence or your decision making. But I love this lady because she's now this is her third interview she's done, and she is going to help people prevent being defrauded.
Mm. Connie, what happened? What's your story?
Oh, hi.
Hi.
I received an email from McAfee, and it said that they wanted to upgrade my service, and if I didn't want it upgraded, I would need to call them within 24 hours, or they're going to take the money out of my bank account. So,
which happens? These you get them all. That's normal, right?
Yeah.
You have all kinds of subscriptions, and your cards may just expire, and all kinds of reasons this happens.
Yeah. So the thing that was odd is that I don't have McAfee, but I did. So I was thinking, just looking. It was a marketing thing, and they wanted me to get back with them, and so I thought they were legitimate. So taking money out of my account was pretty freaky, and the idea, and so I immediately called the number on the screen.
Sure.
Because they said I only had 24 hours. And so when I talked with them and they said, let me send you to somebody else. And so they passed me off to somebody who said that they were going to, and I had a brain freeze. I felt as though my brain had been hijacked, and it was somewhere in that point, because I don't remember, but I do know that they said that they were going to give me $20 in my bank account or something, and so they had the screen up that looked very legitimate on my computer. It said McAfee on the top, security, and so I put 20.00.
So they somehow get into your computer.
Yeah,
how that connection happened.
Yeah. So and that's how I don't understand.
It's so quick.
It's
and so
remote
easy.
Access. They do remote access. So there's a pop-up that went on her screen, so that she has to enter the money. That's what they do now. But it's a remote access, and she had given permission at some point or another. A little pop-up must have surfaced, and she would have allowed it, unfortunately.
And then when you give them 20,
right?
Or they give you 20?
They were going to put $20 in my account, and that's the brain hijack that I don't understand. So I did that, and it popped up as 20.00, and they went, "Oh my God, we just put $20,000 into your bank account, and we really need to get it back because the company's going to get taxed. We're going to get in trouble. We need you to take care of this immediately, and you need to give us the money back that's in your account and give it to us in Bitcoin. So you need to go down to your bank, get $20,000 out of your account, and go to a Bitcoin machine to give it back." And I was at that point, I was sucked in, and they like the Jonestown thing I was just talking about. Jonestown was however many decades ago, and there was a very charismatic religious guy, and he had a following in one of the South American countries, and he convinced them to all kill themselves with poison. And so they did it. And so even though I was away from my computer, they had gotten into that part of my brain.
How long was the conversation? How long did this happen? How did this transpire?
This was within like 10 minutes.
Really?
I would say, yeah.
Really?
And so I went down to the bank, got the money, went to the Bitcoin machine, and they gave me a code. I've never done anything with Bitcoin because it just seems, doesn't seem legal.
Right.
So anyway, I did it. And during that, shoving all those $100 bills into the machine, they went, "Oh my God, something's happened, and we don't have all that money. You need to go get us more."
Oh my.
Yeah. So I did. And then I came home, and they said, "Okay, they already had access," which I, because I'm not a computer person.
Sure.
I don't know these things.
Yeah.
So I realized that this was wrong. This was a scam. And I called the McAfee people, and they said, "Yep, that's a scam." So I was devastated, obviously, and thought, "Oh my God, how can I be so stupid as to fall for this?"
Yeah.
So I went to the bank the next day, knowing that they'd gotten into my account.
So you took cash out and gave cash.
I gave.
And they still had access to your bank. Or no, just...
They somehow, by getting into my computer, they were able to get access into my account. And I don't know how that works, but they did.
Yeah.
So the next day I went to the account, into my account, thinking, well, you know, I don't have that money. But what they had done was to take... I had a home equity loan worth $25,000. And so once they had access to my account, they just cleaned me out. They took $25,000 out of my home equity loan. I had $10,000 in my checking account. So they just wiped me clean.
Wow.
And
can the bank have recourse on this? Does your bank, like, I get the fraud stuff from our bank, we use Vantage West. They're really aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I travel, I get these pings. "Hey, is this you?" And the little yes, no's. And so could the bank help you?
No.
Oh my goodness.
No, they couldn't help me because they explained this to me, and it took about a week because I went to the bank and I called up a bunch of people. I'll tell you later.
Yeah.
So they cleaned out my account, and I found that the bank recourse was nothing because the way it was done was because of the online transactions that we can do, which are quite legal. And I understand that now because I have taken money out of my home equity loan to buy some for a major home improvement. So it was all legitimate on their end.
Sure, sure.
And I was really angry with them because I thought they, I figured, okay, they got my checking and savings account money, but how would they get into my home equity loan? I didn't even have it available, didn't think, but it's because
you're like, I can't even get the money out of my home equity loan as fast as these guys did.
Good luck.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So what had happened was that once they had access, they put the money from my home equity loan into my checking account. So I went down to the bank and I had that money available. So when I did ask for $20,000, the teller didn't question that.
Mm. We're talking to Connie. She's bravely stepping up with our friend, came with our friend Brian Watson, formerly the IRS, now with Rose. What's that again?
Resources Outreach to Safeguard the Elderly.
You guys got to work on that.
And we talked about the movie The Beekeeper, which is on Netflix. One of those two, one of the streamers. It's this exact story. It's called The Beekeeper. You talk about it in your classes, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, when I do presentations, I talk about Beekeeper because it's a very believable scam. Yeah. You're at home, you get a pop-up, and they get your heart rate elevated, your brain going to strange places, and they want you to react quickly. All these scams follow the same pattern. Contact out of the blue, a compelling reason to act, and then they want money. Yeah. And then the overarching theme is urgency. In Connie's case, it hits all those
exact
buttons.
Same story. If you haven't seen it yet, guys, you should watch it. The beginning of this part. Then it goes into his repercussions. It's an action film.
And it's
it's the idea that this Felicia guy actually Rashad. Kicks everyone's ass who scammed that lady.
Yep.
See, that's what this. Yes, she needs one of those.
That's what I want to do.
We want to help you.
Oh, you bet.
We want to come and get them.
Absolutely.
And they're in Eastern Ukraine or Eastern somewhere,
these
right? You never know where they're at.
These guys had Indian accents. They're from India. And
their mafia behind them. That was the organized crime.
Business and it's just sad.
Insidious and mean.
So let's get to the prevention again.
Yep.
Right. That's what we want to do is share your pain and mitigate the amount of people that this happens to in the future. So what are you teaching to people right now that they should be teaching, not just themselves or maybe their parents or things like that? So
you have to have a fraud prevention plan in place. So that means subscribing to AARP's newsletter. Subscribe to the newsletter we do at roseadvocacy.org.
I'm going to disagree with you about ARP. They're a bunch of commies, but keep going.
the Green Valley Scam Squad has a weekly email that goes out on scams. Here's the biggest thing is you have to be very skeptical. Any email that comes in, any text message, any phone call, be very skeptical. And then time is your friend. If you get something and you're not too sure of, take your time to react. Go talk to someone. I use the example of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Regis, remember that show?
Sure, of course.
If you didn't know the answer, one of the options was having that really smart friend on the phone available. So you have
That's
to
usually
ask
me, by the way. I got a lot of friends that call me because I'm the smart one.
And right? There you go.
I get that all the time.
You know, and if it's tech related, it's my 19-year-old son, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
But always have somebody that you can talk to. Take a break. You know, hang up the phone, turn off the computer. They get you riled up. They got Connie. They were calling her constantly on the phone. They would not relent. They were just on her. So you got to take a break.
Nothing's that important in the world that you have to move that quick.
Absolutely.
Right? Because we talked about with all the IRS stories we've ever had with you, right, is first of all, they're not calling you. But even if it is and there is something, if you took the time, even when the IRS, you should call them back. That's all right. Respond to them when they send you a letter, when they call you. The IRS doesn't call you, right? Nothing's that important that you need to move that fast, right?
These services,
but they work on your emotions and
these services like LifeLock and other things. Are there anything out there that is a good way to go, or you should have? Or do you like any of them?
Any computer that blocks spam, so that's the phishing. That really helps. And then don't answer the phone.
Yeah.
You know, only answer the phone if it's someone you know.
Right, right.
If it's important, they'll leave a message.
That's the thing that kills you, right, is that we now know who's calling us, right? But, you know, sometimes you pick up the phone.
Connie, this is tragic. Just tragic, you know. And how are you doing? How are you?
I'm doing okay now. It took a while for me to forgive myself. That was the biggest one. To realize that yes, I was scammed, and I'm an intelligent person.
Yeah.
And I am a good person, and I don't usually do stupid things. I do impulsive things, and this was clearly an impulsive thing to do.
Right.
But being able to talk about it actually.
Do you have any idea how important it is to get this message out to someone that's listening right now, thinking the same thing that come their way, and just techniques and tactics that someone else has done?
Well, I hope so. I hope this helps.
Yeah.
And the things that Brian's talking about with don't react, respond is what I'm listening. Pause when agitated. The things that Brian just talked about are really important. And it's not always easy to do.
Yeah, well, this story is real, and it comes across that way when we talk to you, and I hope the listeners feel the same way, and it's just going to happen. So we got to have techniques and processes to make
it. Yeah, sometimes the lesson's more potent when you take the wisdom that Brian's been spouting out for years, and sad to say, combining with your painful experience, hopefully the lesson's more potent for people. So thank you for stepping up.
Thank you. Well, thank you for helping me to spread the word.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you. It was great meeting you. Keep getting better.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Deborah Winger, thanks for bringing her here.
My voice will be better next time, I promise.
Beekeeper. Watch Beekeeper, guys. You'll get the story.
Watch someone get scammed and then Brian Statham beat the hell and kill everyone who's
justified.
So.
Justified rage.
Yes. All right. You guys have a good weekend.
All right. Thanks, Chris. Thanks, Joe.
Good job, man.
All right. The infamous wrap-up section with Joe Higgins coming up next.
Oh, my favorite.
Free fall. Anything you want to talk about, Joe. Your call. Ooh. Except your conspiracy theories about George Soros. I don't want to hear that.
Oh, okay.
Wake up. 8:54 in the morning. Matt, you're my Tucson song guy. Have you ever heard this one before?
I have not. This is a new one on me.
I'm a Tucsonan. By Ed who? Eberlin? Whatever that
Eberlein.
Is. Eberline. We got to take a quick phone call. Our good friend Donna Alou's on the line. Donna, you're on with Chris and Joe. Good morning, lady.
Yes, I want everybody to send their prayers to Lou Ann Preble's family. She just passed away. Mm. Cindy Coleman posted it on Facebook, and you know that's Kate's mom.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Yeah, of course.
She was a former state representative, and she's a very feisty lady, and we will miss her.
Mm. I miss feisty ladies that are mixed with class like Lou Ann.
Yeah.
Well, I just wanted to let everybody know that, to send their prayers to that family.
We shall. Thank you, Donna. Have a good weekend.
Thank you, Chris. You too.
Take care, dear.
Chris, Joe Higgins. You gave me the topic to talk about.
We have 3 minutes.
Okay. State politics, right? We have a one-seat, Republicans have a one-seat majority in the House and the Senate at the state level. We lost the governorship. So right on the docket, right out of the gate, if we lose control, is going to be school-based vouchers and choices and all this. They've been rattling about it for a while. So what's the odds of us keeping it? What's the odds of us holding at least one chamber to slow the insanity and the slide from purple to blue like Colorado? We were bright red for a lot of years, and it's kind of sliding.
I think we're in trouble. I think... I've been saying it over and over again in the last couple of weeks. I think generic R and the Republican principles still play in state of Arizona, statewide elections, and balanced districts. But what happens is we keep muddying up the water with our wonderful personalities.
Right? It hasn't changed in the 15 years we've been doing this show. It's the worst, the most toxic politics is in Republican Party politics.
And very rarely can we find someone who can explain the case, have some fire under their belly, talk with some control, right? Very rarely do we find that.
And attract
right?
the country club Republican as well as the MAGA purist Republican, right?
Correct.
That's the tension that happens within the Republican Party.
And, well, more than ever, it's that split is greater than it even was 10 years ago.
Sure. And we've seen it. Remember, we were watching the Gabby Giffords race, that district, and it was Jesse Kelly, and then you had, you know, all these different far right, far left, far or middle centrists. And it's the battle that happens where the Democrats tend to be pretty lockstep, and they're pretty much moving without the big fighting that happens internally in the Republican Party.
So we're in LD-17.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're not. I think you might. It might go over the top of you. You might be an 18. But So in 17 is one that this is the Wadsack McGar Jones, and it's a definitely like a plus 7 or 8 Republican advantage. They only won by one.
Ooh.
In 22. They outspent their opponent pretty. The opponents had
the Republicans or the Democrats.
The Republicans outspent the Democrats
and only won by one.
Correct.
Wow.
All right.
So was it the top of the Trump wasn't at the top, but he's definitely in the party. Was it abortion? Was that the big issue?
What's abortion was big.
They're just
Carrie Lake
it,
was poisoned on top of the ticket as governor. They have their own issues as human beings and candidates. And so remember, Katie Hobbs has that leftover money from her inaugural.
Yeah.
Right. So she's probably sitting on a half mil herself that she's going to go bomb on a good portion on that one. Mm-hmm. They're single shotting the Democrat against the two Republicans.
Smart.
In the House.
Strategic and smart.
Right. They have a veteran guy named John McClane, like in Die Hard. He's running against Wadsack. Or Wadsack is going. Well, she has a rematch with Vince Leach in the primary head to head, where last time it was a three-way race that she won to get into the general. So you want to know the soul of the Republican Party in that area of the world? Vince Leach versus Wadsack head-to-head in the primary. And then they're going to spend a lot of money. If Wadsack's the one, she's the one, her and her buddy Jones, taking pictures with AR-15s in front of the Capitol saying, look at us. I don't know if that plays so well in a general. So
Vince is incumbent still?
No, he lost.
Oh, he lost.
Yeah. So... Well, on that note, everybody, Matt, have a great weekend. Thanks for everything.
Always a pleasure hanging with you, too.
Thanks to Mark and Adriana and Connie and Brian and Ari and Mr. Pyatt.